Be seated, please. Anyone who's been subjected to my preaching for any length of time will recognize today's reading from Mark as one of my two favorite sayings of Jesus. The other is Matthew 5:45, God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. I include that just so you won't be distracted by thinking about what's the other one. Today, Mark's account of what we have come to know as the summary of the law is paired with the first commandment as it appears in Deuteronomy. One difference between Deuteronomy and Mark is Jesus' addition of all your mind to the list of ways we are meant to love God, heart, soul, mind, and strength. All three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, contain some version of this encounter between Jesus and a questioner, or examiner, or challenger. All three include his addition of mind, which I think suits us Episcopalians just fine. The scribe in Mark's account seems to approve also, as he commends Jesus for his answer to the question, which commandment is the first of all? He even repeats Jesus' mention of mind by saying, with all the understanding. Most notable, though, is that Jesus adds, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, going beyond the scope of the scribe's question. He concludes by saying, there is no commandment greater than these. He undertakes to tell the scribe, a theologian and scholar by profession, that these two commandments sum up not only the 613 commandments of the law, but also the wisdom of the prophets. The account in Mark is presented as a question only, as compared with the word test in Matthew and Luke. Luke's version is the most confrontational. In it, a double threat, a Pharisee who is also a lawyer, puts the question in a more pointed and personal way. I was really struck by this as I was looking at the Gospels in parallel, which you can find online or books are published for that. The way that Pharisaic lawyer asked the question is, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers the question, as the rabbi he is, with a question. What is written in the law? How do you read? The lawyer, of course, answers perfectly. And Jesus tells him so. But the lawyer can't leave it alone. He further asks, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus' answer to this is the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke. In all three Gospels, we are presented with this defining moment of our faith, certainly the way I think of it anyway. In all three, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy, reminding his audience that he is an authentic Jew, a true rabbi. Today's version in Mark does this most overtly as Jesus begins by saying, hear, O Israel, the Shema in Hebrew, which is prayed in morning and evening prayers in the temple or synagogue. In Matthew, he says that all the law and the prophets depend. In some translations, it says, hang on these two. Over time, I've come to think of these dual commandments, love God and neighbor, as the lens through which we view all ethical and moral dilemmas. As we all know, many of our moral decisions are not matters of choosing the good over the bad. Simple enough, even when we decide to choose the bad. But if it's just good and bad, it's clear. But often it's choosing between the bad and the worse, or between the good and the better. I woke up this morning from a dream. It's not in the printed sermon. I'm sure it was Loving Spoonful who sang, "Have you ever had to make up your mind?" And the whole song goes through. It's not often easy, it's not often kind. But there you go, it stayed with us forever. This decision of this, the business of making difficult positions. Those 713 mitzvah were attempts to cover every conceivable situation, but they, of course, inevitably failed to do so. No list, even 10 times that number, could succeed at that task. If there could be a law to fit every single human conflict, there would be no need for courts of law. Indeed, in the way some people think of God, not my own perspective, there would be no need for God. All of life and its complications could be resolved by looking up the solution in a book. The fact that some people try to treat the Bible in this way is further proof that we humans long for clear, simple solutions when there is none to be had. Whether the Constitution of the United States of America or Holy Writ, interpretation is always necessary when the contents are brought to bear on real-life human interactions. That's why, I believe, Jesus is challenged on this point of law. And that is why he answers with two principles that overshadow everything else. The standard for loving God is total, our whole being, turning our hearts and souls and minds and willpower over to God, to the one who is greater than we are, even greater than we are when all put together. The standard for love of neighbor is a bit narrower in scope and closer to home. We are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. I take that to mean something like putting ourselves in the other person's position, to walk a mile in the other's shoes. It also implies, sort of by the way, that we are meant to love or respect ourselves as part of God's loving, creative work. The desire for certainty, and along with it, moral superiority, might be behind the lawyer's final question in the Lucan version, "And who is my neighbor?" He might as well have said, "Let's pin this thing down once and for all." Let's face it, depending upon which account, the scribe or the Pharisee or the Pharisee lawyer, might as well be Jesus' shill in the audience, a stand-in for all of us. We all want to know, what should I do? What should I do when faced with tough choices? Jesus' answer is intended for all of us. Love God, love your neighbor. Of course, that answer doesn't spell out specific courses of action for every situation, just as I've said, but it gives us a starting point, a lens or filter. So the question becomes, what is the most loving thing to do? Or again, as I referred to it earlier, what's the least hurtful thing I can do? And in the wake of that, our only best hope is to make that our prayer. Oh, Lord, help me. help me to see how your love is best expressed in this difficult decision I'm facing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.